Amen. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. So good to see everyone here this morning. I want to welcome you this morning to our service. We want to welcome you to a time of worship. Here is a time that you can focus on Jesus. Amen. You can leave what's going on outside behind and you can focus on the Lord. Now, before I go any further, I need to know one thing. How many of you need a palm? You need a palm? Does everyone have a palm? If you got a palm, could you hold it up in the air? Let me see it. Let me see it. Okay. All right. Yay. Does anyone need a palm? Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, good. Good deal. Now, you know what those palms are for, right? It's for fanning you when you get hot, right? Is that what it's for? Amen. We're going to find out what they're for here in a little bit. So we welcome you this morning, and let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank you for the love that you show us, the love that you're showing us. Lord, the patience that you have with each one of us, how you move among our lives, how you touch our lives, how you help us through the bad spots, and how you keep us going one day at a time. Bless this congregation, Lord. We pray that your loving arms would be around each and every one, from the oldest to the youngest. We thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, let me read the scripture here. Read the scripture. The scripture this morning is coming from the prophet Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah, and it's Zechariah chapter 9. Starting at verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." I have read you Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 10. And what these scriptures is a prophecy that we're going to be looking at later on as our Lord comes riding in on a donkey. Amen? At this time, would you please stand with me? Take your knees out good and kind of move around. We're fixing to do a dance, all right? No. Wave at somebody. Wave at each other. There you go. Amen. Now, act like you like folks, okay? Wave at them with both hands. And if you got your palm in your hand, get that palm in your hand. Now, wave that palm around. There you go. And you say, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Amen. 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 All right. You may be seated.
Church.
Good morning.
Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus and paving the way for our lives to be set free through his death on the cross. We rejoice in his triumph entry into Jerusalem and look forward to the resurrection.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to stay strong and true to you and to follow in the path of his suffering, that we may share in his resurrection. Lord Jesus, grant us the blessings of peace and serenity on this holy day. May our hearts be calm and our minds at ease as we celebrate your triumph into Jerusalem. Help us to find peace in your presence, even when we face challenges. Lord, as we begin this holy week, we ask for your guidance and strength. Help us to follow in the footsteps.
And rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your glorious banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Your clear hosannas raise, and hallelujah's loud, while answering echoes upward float like breeze of incense cloud. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Yes, on through life's long path, still chanting as we go, from youth to age, find night and day in gladness and in woe.
Thank you, Jordan. Let us prepare for our offering. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for all the things that you've given us. And Lord, you told us, Lord, that you would provide for all our needs. We have no need to worry about anything. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would put on our hearts today to give generously. To give, Lord, from our heart, not grudgingly. Give like you want us to give. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Granny.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Reading this morning is Matthew, the 21st chapter, 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and heard and had reached Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is come to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them and sat on them. A very large crowd spread the cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the tree and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and had followed were shouting, "Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is the one who come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowd were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
in the back needs to be in the choir.
I've been by it,
though. Good morning. How are y'all today? Good. Well, I hope it gets better. Okay. Well, I'll pray for you that y'all have a better day, okay?
It's hit or miss. Let's hear.
Can you hear me now? Yes? All right. I'll just speak loud. But if I speak too loud, just give me this space. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. So, what do y'all have in your hands? Green stuff. Does anybody know what that green stuff is? A leaf of some sort, that's correct. All right, well, this is a palm from a palm tree. Yeah, that's what this is. It's a palm from a palm tree. They're really big. We don't have a lot of them here. They're like more tropical trees. Some, you will see them sometimes. Maybe a jungle. So today is Palm Sunday, hence why we have palms. And did you know that today is the beginning of the Holy Week? And we have a lot of holy days or holidays in our Christian calendar. Did you know that? But today is the beginning of a very important one, and it's called Holy Week. And it's right before Easter. And so, do you know what a celebrity is? Well, so I was thinking, and I was asking Mr. Allen who I could relate it to. When I was a kid, a celebrity was Bozo the Clown. He had balls, and he used to throw them, and the kids used to win all kinds of prizes, and I wanted to meet him. But I don't remember. Maybe like a Batman would be a celebrity, or maybe like Bluey. But those are not people; it's a cartoon. So they're like famous. So what do you think famous people have? Rewards? Maybe they have money, or nice cars, or big houses, right? Yes, the Lamborghini we talked about last time. They definitely, I think, would have. I think when you become a celebrity or a famous person, you're going to have a Lamborghini, right? Yeah. All right. So, did you know that Jesus is a celebrity? Did you know that? But today on Palm Sunday, he went riding in on a donkey, not a horse. A donkey, and it wasn't just a donkey, it was a baby donkey. And did you know that after he rode in, he had supper? Do y'all eat supper? Like dinner. Yeah, dinner. You have dinner, right? It's like the last meal of the day. Well, maybe you have a snack after that. But did you know that when he went, he went and washed his friend's feet. Do you ever wash your friend's feet? No? Did you know that usually the servants wash their people's feet that they work for? Did you know that? So that was a sign of like being in, like having money. But did you know that Jesus did wash people's feet? And the reason he did is because he lived a very humble life. Humble means that he was just like you and I. And even though he's in the clouds. Okay. So he lived a very humble life. Like he was born in a barn. Y'all remember that on Christmas? Yes. And then he came in on a baby donkey. So this week, as we go this week, at the end of the week, it's kind of sad, but we celebrate. And we'll talk about more about that on Sunday for Easter. What happens. So this week, remember that you need to be humble and thankful, okay? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Help us to remember to serve one another just as he served us. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Have a good week, guys. Liam.
To the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we enter Holy Week, we give you praise. We praise you for who you are and how you courageously face incredible opposition and hardships, but you always overcame with your self-giving love. You are the Son of God, our Messiah, the Savior of the world. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning again, and we today is marks a very special day in on the Christian calendar and in the life of a believer. Today is what we call Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday marks the beginning of also in Christendom we call Holy Week, and this is the final week of Lent. And Palm Sunday is the day that we commemorate our Lord's courageous entrance into Jerusalem. And that kicked off a week in which he was arrested, he was convicted, he was crucified, and most importantly, he was resurrected. He rose again. And our title this morning is The Courageous King. The Courageous King. And our scripture is the story, the narrative found in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. So, now, by worldly viewpoints, Jesus is about to have a very bad week. Nothing but failures here. But these failures, they contrast our Lord's a nature of love with humanity's nature to control and dominate. You see, our Lord, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He washed his disciples' feet. A very close friend betrayed him. He was spat upon. He was abandoned, beaten, whipped, tried, and then he was convicted of being the King of the Jews, which he is, which he was, and he still is. And finally, he was crucified. He was dead and then he was buried. All these events, they contrast our Lord's holiness with humanity's sinfulness. Now, get this here. When something is put under force and trauma, you're going to find out what that something is made of. And a good example is when you squeeze a lemon, you get lemon juice. When you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. But what happened when our Lord, who is the Son of God, rode into town on a donkey? He had stooped down to wash his disciples' feet, betrayed by a friend, and convicted, crucified, dead, and buried. What do you get when that happens? What you get, dear one, is a crystal clear picture of God's core nature and his self-giving love. You see, the Lord endured the cross in order to save you and me, humanity. And there was no other way. It had to be this way. And in doing so, he demonstrated that he is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. And we're going today focus on his courage, the way he came into Jerusalem. And we're going to look at that narrative, at that story in Matthew 21, which was we already read it, so I'm going to read the whole thing over to you again. But anyway, the story begins with our Lord approaching Jerusalem. Now, before he entered, he sent two of his disciples, They went to the village and they had to return with a donkey and a colt. And the disciples, they knew exactly what the Lord told them to do. They went, they got the donkey, and they brought it to Jesus. And our Lord, he rides slowly into town. And the text says that this was all done to fulfill Zechariah's prophecy. It says, envision the Messiah would come in general and riding on a donkey. Now, there's a couple of things that are going on in this passage which are very, very important. And let me point one out to you right away. It says, first, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, this was a very intentional move by Jesus. He did this on purpose. He didn't have to do it that way. But there was a reason why he came into town on a donkey. Now, think about this for a minute. Why would anybody ride into town on a donkey? Why do you think they would? Why do you think you'd ride into town? Why would you ride into town on a donkey? Somebody said because I didn't have a car. Yeah. Okay? Something to do with humility. But let me get down to it. He says, this was intentionally done now. You see, in the ancient world, when a king came into town, he came in on a horse. And when he came in on a horse, he was getting ready to kill some folks. He wanted war and aggression. But if he rode into town on a donkey, I love this. If he rode into town on a donkey, he intended peace. You see, our Lord rode into town on a donkey to demonstrate his kingship will be one of peace. Amen. And this passage from Zechariah continues. It says, I will take the chariot from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea. This is one of the messianic prophecies that our Lord is fulfilling. You see, he's the anointed one, the Messiah, the king coming into town. He was coming proclaiming peace instead of war or conflict. You see, the war is over. There's not going to be any more violence. And the thing about this, dear ones, his disciples, nor the crowds, and I would dare say even us, we don't fully understand what Jesus was doing right before their eyes. What he was doing, he was showing him that his kingdom was not about violence. It was about love and kindness. His kingdom was from above. And it took a lot of nerve, a lot of courage to come into Jerusalem and proclaim this with all of this going on. And even the Gospel of John says this. At first, his disciples didn't understand any of this. Imagine that. Only after he was glorified did they realize, you know, that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. You see, one of the second things that important here is that Jesus is proclaiming himself to be king. And this is a big thing, dear one. It is. But the crowd in Matthew 21:11, they say, well, this is a prophet. The prophet from Nazareth, you know. But that's not what the Lord called himself. The Lord called himself king. He was a Messiah. He was more than just a prophet. He was more than just a moral teacher or a good person. He is the king and Messiah. And during his life and ministry, our Lord, he always demonstrated this authority. He has authority over everything. Still did, and he still has. He's got authority over nature, over demons, sickness, and even death. He spoke with authority. He didn't speak like someone who would memorize all the right answers. He protected his people from the storms of the sea. He healed them from blindness, leprosy, and fevers. He set them free from evil spirits. Even demons, they left. Fevers disappeared and paralysis went away because he had authority over all of them. Even nature today has to obey the Lord because everything is under his authority. Even the devil and his demons, they have to obey him because they are also under his authority. Everything is under the Lord's authority. This one, this humble one who came into town on a donkey, the King of Kings, everything is under his authority. Now, the early Christians, they understood this very well. You see, their creed was Jesus is Lord. That's what they used to say, to Jesus is Lord. And the word Lord means absolute authority. It wasn't just a fancy way of saying Mr. Jesus or the good man. Jesus is Lord, and when you say that, you're saying that he has absolute authority in your life. Absolute. And back then, they couldn't say that because they were in danger of getting killed, because at that time it was treason to say that because Caesar was Lord. So, now while our Lord was pretty brutal against all the weather, the demons, and the sickness, he was loving, he was welcoming, and he was very direct with people. I love that part. He didn't mix words. He told you exactly what he wanted to do. Last week he told us about the cost of being a disciple. He didn't mix words. Some of it was confusing. Some of it may have even made you a little angry. But one thing about it, that's what the Lord says. And that's what he expects of us. You see, our Lord, he ate with tax collectors. He sat with sinners. He let a sinful woman wash his feet with tears. He touched the untouchable. He loved those who were oppressed. And he also loved the oppressors. Now, why did he do all of this? Because God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but he sent him into the world to save it, John 3:17. He used all his authority to save, to heal, and to make people whole. He never used it for selfish purposes. He never displayed his power in a selfish way. He used his authority humbly, in a way to demonstrate God's self-giving love in ways that are consistent with his mission. And his mission was to save humanity from his sin. Now, let's bring this close to home here. Here's the question. Jesus has all authority over nature, sickness, demons, and even death. But the question I submit to you this morning is, does he have all authority over you? This means, are you truly his disciples? Or are you just playing games with the Lord? I'm not talking about you've accepted some kind of rule book, but do you trust in him and you trust him to be the Lord of your life? You see, our Lord enters into Jerusalem. As I said before, it was planned, and it wasn't on a hit. It come on a whim. And before he rode into town, he went and got a donkey, and he told them what to do with it. The Lord needs them. And Mark, this tells that this village where he was at was Bethany, and this is where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus knew a lot of people in Bethany, apparently. And that code word he used, the Lord needs them, may have been established in advance with someone. It all points out to this. Jesus has been planning his entrance for quite a while. Amen. And you know what, dear one? His timing was perfect. Perfect! He knew that Jerusalem was going to be crowded with pilgrims from the Passover. And he knew that the law required that all Jewish males who live within 20 miles, they had to come to Jerusalem for the Passover. And also, all the Jews from all over the known world, they came to Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be jam-packed with pilgrims. And this was a perfect time for our Lord to make a statement for all to see. But here's the thing, folks. The Jewish leaders were already plotting to kill him. And the thing about it, the most dangerous way Jesus could enter the city, he had to come in broad daylight with a lot of attention and noise from those spectators. And that is exactly what he did. Oh, it took courage, dear one. He courageously made himself the sacrificial lamb coming into that city. And he knew those who hated him and wanted him dead, this would trigger a negative response in them. But his actions and decisions were based on God's will rather than how the men in power would react. Jesus was courageous. And guess what, dear ones? He calls us to be courageous also. Now, do you think there's a lack of courage in your life today? On a scale of 1 to 10, how courageous are you? And let me be specific and give you some specific things and let you know if you're courageous. If you're courageous, you'll do the right thing regardless of the consequences. If you're courageous, even though you're afraid, you'll do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. If you're courageous, if you fail at something, you won't give up. You'll keep going. If you're courageous, when folks talk about you and criticize you, you won't back down and go into self-pity. You'll keep going and keep praising God. If you're courageous, you will pursue purpose over comfort. If you're courageous, and I got to tell you, folks, our Lord wants all of us to be courageous. You see, I believe the Lord was being courageous in each one of these ways. You see, to be courageous is to be what? Christ-like. Too many of us, we get scared. We try to avoid failure and criticism. And we're stuck in comfortable lives with little meaning or purpose. Oh, dear one, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to step out. Step out. Step out on faith in God's word and not be afraid. You're going to have the courage that Jesus had when he knew he was going to be crucified. You see, you've got to have that courage. You've got to have that courage when you want to stand up and tell somebody about the Lord. You've got to have the kind of courage to invite someone to your church and say, yes, come on in and hear the gospel. The very large crowd, all these folks, they spread their cloaks on the road, while others, they cut branches from the trees and they spread them on the road. Those branches that you have, those are the palm leaves that they had back in that day. And they did this as he entered. Now, this was the type of reception that was reserved only for a king. But our Lord, he had no intention of taking political power like most kings do. You see, our Lord was interested in becoming kings in the heart of each and every person because his kingdom is not of this world. And they shouted, Hosanna! And what that meant is saved now. And that comes directly from Psalms 118:25. And this is what exactly Jesus came to do. Remember, he came into the world not to condemn, but to save. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil. I mean, Jesus was coming to these folks. Who is this person? You see, there was a lot of folks in that city that hadn't been there. And they hadn't yet been exposed to Jesus. So they were asking the question, who is he? And the crowd answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And the crowd called him a prophet because they didn't fully understand who he was. But those closest to Jesus, those who spent some time with him, those who listened to him, engaged with him, and they learned to obey him, they knew exactly who he was. He was more than a prophet or just a great moral teacher. He was not an earthly king. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, who came into the world to save it, not condemn it. Here are some examples from God's word about the Messiah. You are the Messiah, the Son of God, who came into the world. This is what Martha said in John 11:27. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This is what Peter said in Matthew 16:16. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world. This is what the entire town of Sychar, after spending 2 days with Jesus, said. You see, they knew who he was. They knew who he was and what he could do, you know. But the question is, who do you say Jesus is in your life? Is he just a prophet? Is he just a good teacher? Is he someone that you just kind of think he's a real nice person? Let me read you an excerpt from C.S. Lewis' book, Mere Christianity, and then we're going to close. C.S. Lewis says this: let us not say I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or he's a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit on him and call him a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let's not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great moral teacher. He didn't intend for us to do this. So who is Jesus today to you? And what does it matter? What does he matter in your life today? I would submit this to you this morning. If he's not the Lord of your life, then he needs to be the Lord of your life. If you're saying that, Lord, I love you and I belong to you and you belong to me, then we should act that way. And we should always remember and revere him and treat him like he's the Lord of our life. So this morning, as I close and as I ask the question, is he truly the Lord of your life? Or is it just something, or just a time slot that you might feel on Sunday? What about the rest of the week? Is he the Lord of your life? This morning, I submit to you that if he's not, during this Holy Week, what an awesome time to make Jesus Lord of your life. And what does that mean? That means he's everything. He's number one. Everything you do, everything you want to do in your, everything is centered around Jesus. Is this you this morning? Is this you this morning? Oh, I challenge you. I challenge you to go out. To go out from this place and show that the Lord, he is Lord of your life. He says you need to let your light shine. Let it shine, dear one, in a dark world. You hold the light of life in your heart. Let the world see it. Jesus, he is our perfect sacrifice. And he was and is the courageous king. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the head of everything that I do. And I pray that these dear folks here, they would want that the same, those that haven't made you. And I pray, Lord, that this morning would be a very special morning, that they would make you the number one in their life. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand for the invitation, please? The altar is open for anyone who wishes to come. Offer your confession for anything that you need from the Lord. The altar is open.
Amen. Are you able? Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the sturdy dreamers answered, to the death we'll follow thee. Lord, with
like the divine, thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Are ye able to remember when a thief lifts up his eyes, that its hardened soul is worthy of a place in paradise? Lord, we are able, our spirits are gone. Remold them, make us like the divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Are ye able when the shadows close around you with the sod, to believe that spirit triumphs, to commend your soul to God? Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like the divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to love and loyalty.
Man, you may be seated. You may be seated. Man.
Always a very bright spot for me, anyway, is to see Doug and Karen. He is a beacon in this.
Loves every one of you. She told me to tell y'all that she loves you very much. And she's got it in her heart and in her mind that she's going to be back at this church one day. Amen? Who am I to deny her that? And she thinks very fondly of this church and of you. So if you get a chance, I know it's a little ways out, about 50-something miles. Go down and see her. She's in Gonzales. She'll be glad that you came by to see her. She thinks about you all the time. All the time. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He hold you close. May He give you the things that you need to survive in this world. May He give you the opportunity to tell someone else about Him. May He give you courage and strength and peace in your hearts. And with that, let us pray the prayer that our Lord taught His disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Things I would ask Him to tell me if He were here. Sings by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me. First let me hear how the children stood round His feet, and I shall fancy His blessing resting on me. Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace, of Jesus' face.
Into the city I'd follow the children's band, waving a branch of the palm trees high in my hand. One of his arrows, yes, I would sing loudest hosannas, Jesus is King. Go in peace.
That thing. Okay, you got it. And then somebody got it.